What do I know about all of you? Well, as individuals, it varies. Some of you I only see here at church. Maybe we talk a bit at hospitality or have had some interaction about church business. There are others I socialize with outside of church and know a little bit better. I even know two people since the day they were born. And then there's a few that I know very little about. But there's one thing that I can say I know for sure about all of you, and that is you are extremely generous people. And I mean generous in every sense of the word. When I began working here in 2009, it was not under ideal conditions. My predecessor, Jean Kerr, was part of this church for a long time, and her sudden departure was traumatic and upsetting. As the new girl, I didn't know how my presence in the office would be accepted, and I felt nervous and unsure, and prayed that being Maureen Peraza's sister would be enough of a reason for you to like me. The truth is, I didn't know you very well, so I doubted you. I'm very happy to apologize for that. The warmth of your welcome and the kindness you showed me was such a relief. It was the first time, but certainly not the last, when I've witnessed the depth of your generosity. The fruits of generosity surround us. Outside, the raised beds help feed those in need of fresh produce in our community. Shopping carts outside the church office provide canned goods to local food pantries. We sponsor a school in the West Indies that feeds breakfast to kids. Ongoing programs like Laundry Love, Families in Need, White Gifts, Meals for the Far Rockaway Mission, and my personal favorite, donations of food and clothing to a local safe house for victims of domestic violence. Anonymous donations, extraordinary gifts, volunteer hours, the list goes on and on. The church says, we need, and you say, how much and what can I do? I think it could not be any more symbolic that one of the touchstones of this church is the stained glass window outside the sanctuary. It's called the Widow's Mite, and the inscription reads, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. So, are you sitting there thinking, okay, Pat, you're telling us we're a generous congregation. Thank you for the acknowledgement. But what's the point? The point is, there is no question about our willingness to give. But what about our willingness to receive? And when I say receive, I'm talking about communion. Because that's what we do with communion, isn't it? We receive it. That bread and that cup is the best invitation we will ever receive. And there's that word again. When someone offers you an incredible gift of something of great value that you know you need and want desperately, how do you react? Does your face light up as you jump for joy? Do you run and hug the gift giver and let them know how much you appreciate their love and kindness? Of course you do. But in today's gospel, when Jesus said, I am the bread that came down from heaven, the Jews reacted by saying, we know you, Jesus. We know your parents. When did you come down from heaven? Now bear in mind that most of the people gathered around Jesus were there because they had just heard about or saw him multiply the loaves and the fishes and feed 5,000. They knew he could do amazing things with bread. But when he told them he was the bread from heaven, that whoever eats this bread will live forever, that's a lot to believe. However, Jesus wasn't in the mood to deal with their mumbling. He tells them, stop complaining among yourselves. I'm giving you the bread of life, the living bread, the gift of myself. Have faith and receive it. Sometimes we fight what's best for us. Nancy Sutherland and I went to see Wes Brower at Sands Point Rehab recently. He looked good, healthy. When Nancy asked about the food there, he made a face and told us he nibbles at a few things on his tray, and sometimes he pushes the entire meal away. We tried to encourage Wes by reminding him that he needed to eat in order to keep up his strength. They won't discharge him until he can walk 30 feet unassisted, and he struggles to go that far. Driving home, I thought, we probably didn't make much of an impact on Wes about eating more, because, like the Jews in today's story, he really didn't want to hear what we had to say. Then I started thinking about how we all believe we know what's better and often fail to realize the impact our decisions have on our lives. Is communion important to us, or do we tend to only give it a superficial glance? We may say, I believe it's important, but I have a busy day and communion makes the service longer. Or, how much of a difference will it really make if I do something else instead of going to church and receiving communion? I know we struggle sometimes, especially when it requires getting up early after a late night out or giving up another event during worship time. But to say going to communion won't add much to your day is like saying that spending time with your closest friend wouldn't improve your day any either. My niece Allison came from Philadelphia to hear me preach this morning. Oh sure, seeing Maureen and Dave and a few of her friends was probably good too. But I know why she picked this weekend to visit. She's given me a gift, and this day is different because of it. Transformed. Communion is meant to be transformative. Even before I approach the altar, I begin to prepare myself for communion by focusing on the gift I'm about to receive. I try not to be distracted by looking at who's in the pews or how long the line is in front of me. Instead, I think about what communion means to me. And when I can do that, I feel stronger and peaceful and find it easier to feel close to God. I'm invested. And the more I invest in my relationship with Christ, the more I come to Him in communion, the more I feel transformed. Like Wes Brower, we can choose to nibble or even push away the meal that has the grace and power to heal and sustain us. Or we can lovingly accept and receive God's generosity to us. Amen.